In your Bible, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. While you are taking your place in the Word of God, I want to remind you that this evening at 7 o'clock, the opportunity to see Israel firsthand will be yours. It'll be the next best thing to going there. Tonight at 7 o'clock. In fact, I've had several people to say they really didn't have a desire to go anymore since they saw those slides last week. They felt like that they had gotten it all. Tonight, inside Israel, we'll go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Cana to Capernaum to Tiberias to Jericho to the Jordan River to the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee and to the Valley of the Battle of Armageddon. Tonight, at 7 o'clock. And now, Matthew chapter 11, I began reading at verse 28. But first, we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful today for the great invitation that Thou hast given us. We're glad today that there is no restriction. We're glad that there is no exception. We're glad today that there is no exclusion to this invitation of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we pray as Thy word shall be read, as we shall expound upon the truth of the Bible for the 20th century, an old-fashioned message, an old-fashioned gospel from an old-fashioned book in an old-fashioned way for a new-fashioned world. May the power of the Holy Spirit grip our hearts and cause us to love Jesus more each day. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus is speaking, and this is what He has to say. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. My message this morning is entitled, The Greatest Invitation Ever Extended. Now, if tomorrow morning's mail brings you an invitation to the White House, maybe to go to Red China, as it has to some 300 other people, you would count yourself signally honored to have been invited by the president. You wouldn't think about turning it down, would you? I tell you what, if you get one and you don't want to go, give it to me and I'll go in your place. But I'm talking to you this morning about an invitation from heaven, from King Jesus, the potentate of heaven and earth, possessor of all creation. He's got the whole world in His hand. The greatest invitation ever extended. I speak of four things from this text. Number one, something to do. Number two, something to take. Number three, something to learn. And number four, something to find. Let me read it for you again, verse 28. Jesus speaking, a written invitation with all of the royalty of heaven behind it. Come unto me. This invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us first then something to do. It is so simple. You know the reason that a lot of people aren't saved today? They just can't believe that salvation is so plain and so simple. Now the subject of this sentence is you. You come unto me. The word come is used 1,668 times in the Bible. Why, the Bible is a book of invitation. In the very opening of the Bible, I hear God speaking to Noah with a threat of a worldwide, universal, devastating flood. God says to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." I'm glad salvation is a household matter. Amen. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Thank God for Christian homes and Christian families and God's family plan of redemption. Come. Come thou and all thy family into the ark. Beloved, there comes to you an invitation today from the same Jehovah Jesus. You come to the ark of safety. I bid you come today and flee from the wrath that is about to be poured out upon the world. The Bible closes with the word come. And the Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. I like that because that includes me. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Are there those excluded from the gospel? Only those who exclude themselves. But somebody says, "I don't understand." Let me give you that verse again. It does not say, "Whosoever understandeth." It says, "Whosoever will." The only thing that separates you from God is your stubborn, rebellious, obstinate will. The only thing that keeps a man from God is his own will. But somebody objects. "But I do not feel it." Again, I give you the text out of Revelation. It does not say, "Whosoever feels, let him come." It says, "Whosoever will, let him come." But somebody says, "I'm not ready. This is not the time." I give you that verse again. It does not say, "Whosoever is ready." It says, "Whosoever will." Somebody said, "But Pastor, I don't feel worthy." I give you the word again. It does not say, "Whosoever is worthy, let him come." It says, "Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's a wideness in God's mercy today, like the wideness of the sea. God's mercy is all-encompassing, all-engulfing. It's for you. Jesus said, there's something for you to do. And that word come means simply rely upon, trust in, put your faith in me. Again, I cite you to your mailbox in the morning. If a letter comes signed Richard M. Nixon, you'll sit up and take notice. If a letter were to come to you signed tomorrow, the Queen of England, you'd take notice. But beloved, here is the signature of Jesus. Come unto me. This is the word of the Master. This is the word of the Savior. This is the word of Christ. Man's word soon loses its impact. It soon loses its attraction. It soon loses its sentimentality. But beloved, the word of Christ never loses its appeal. He is calling men like a magnet from all over the world. Come unto me. You are welcome, sinner. The royal invitation is extended. The welcome mat is out. God has opened all of heaven to say to you, come. I'm glad it's that simple today. The wayfaring man, though he be a fool, can find this way. Come unto me all, get it now, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You merchants who labor, you workmen who labor, you students who labor, you businessmen who labor, you housewives who labor, you husbands who labor, you fathers who labor, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That burden that you bear this morning is almost too much. Almost weighted you down. Why don't you bring that burden to Jesus today? He's the burden bearer. He's the sin bearer. He's the problem solver. He is the Lord of life. And he bids you simply, come unto me. Beautiful, isn't it? Meaningful, isn't it? Marvelous, isn't it? Matchless, isn't it? Simply, come. Come unto me, something to do. Just come to Jesus. And the wonderful thing about it is, friends, you can come just like you are. When blind Fanny Crosby wrote that hymn, she had heard a gospel message. And she said, but how can I be saved? And somebody said, you can come just like you are. And she went home and penned those words. Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. That's the way you can come this morning. Don't wait to get any better. Don't wait to get any worse. But come as you are. Come to Jesus. Notice he didn't say come to the apostle. He didn't say come to the pastor. He didn't say come to the prophet. He didn't say come to the priest or the pope. He said come unto me. Something to take. Take my yoke upon you. Now the eastern yoke had a place but for two necks. Here's the young ox. He's to be broken in. He's to be trained. Here's the older ox. Two places. The yoke is put down over their neck. As long as the young was yoked with the older, experienced one, he never got out of the traces. Never ran into any problems or troubles that the older one couldn't handle. The marvelous thing about it is this. In the eastern yoke, and Jesus was using this as a symbol, perhaps he had seen his foster father Joseph make them in the carpenter shop. Perhaps his own hands had fashioned a yoke himself. There's not room for three. There's no room for a strange neck. There's no room for another partner. Just you and Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. If you would but take the yoke of Christ today and be, as it were, yoked up with him when the plowing gets rough, and it's going to get rough, folks. When the way of life seems hard and treacherous and trying, and it's going to get that way, you've got the Master, the Lord Jesus, to plow the rough ground, to lead you over the uncharted path of your life. Wouldn't you like to be yoked up with the one who can feed your hungry soul till you'll never hunger anymore? I ask you, wouldn't you like to be yoked up to him who gives you water until you'll thirst no more? Wouldn't you really like to be yoked up to him who is the light of the world? Wouldn't you like to be yoked up to him who is the way, the truth, and the life? Wouldn't you like to have the yoke of Jesus around your neck this morning? For when you tread those chilly waters of death, you can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Take my yoke upon you." Number three is something to learn. Jesus said, "Learn of me." What he really said was, "Learn from me." How'd you like to have Plato, Aristotle, Zeno for a teacher? You've got Jesus for a teacher, and he's far wiser. The scientist might tell you how to formulate some scientific program, but the scientist can't tell you how to die, mister. The philosopher might tell you how to reason your way through life, but he can't tell you how to reason your way through death. The financier might tell you how to live and spend a lot of money, but he can't help you when you're dying. Well, you see, Jesus tells you not only how to live, but he tells you how to die. You know, the thing that's so good about this old-time religion, it's not only good to live by, but it's good to die by. When the doctor stands by and the beads of the perspiration of death are on your brow, the family's done all they can do, and the hospital's done all they can do, and the doctors have done all they can do, I want to tell you this morning that you won't have to cross the river of death alone. Death does not have to come as an enemy, as a surprise to you. You might be like the Scotchman when they told him, "We hate to tell you this, but your days are numbered. You're going to die." "Don't let that worry you," he said. "That's what I've been living for." That's the testimony of the born-again believer who has learned of Jesus how to live and how to die. You see, where you've been and who you know and what you've got and what kind of house you live in and the kind of clothes you wear and the car you drive and the money you've got in the bank, these are not going to help when you come down to die and face that grim enemy. The only thing's going to count then, the only thing that'll matter then, the only thing that'll be of a concern then, will be your relationship to Christ. And I bid you come this morning and learn from Jesus how to live and learn from Jesus how to die. Something to do, something to take, something to learn, something to find. Oh, I'm glad that I found the rest that only Jesus can give. Now wait. God has not promised us immunity from sickness, from sorrows, from tragedies, from losses, from problems, from crises, from heartaches. There's not one verse of Scripture that promises you an escape from any of these. But wait, there is a promise that in the long hour of suffering, there is one who goes with you because he has suffered for you. In that time of your disappointment and discouragement and despondency and crises, he's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but go all the way with you. We are living today in a restless world. How many people do you know? Individually, personally, that are restless. Can't find themselves. Can't locate themselves. Don't know what to do next. Don't know where to go next. Don't know whether to take this job or stay on the one they've got. Don't know whether to make this move or that move or the other. It's a restless world. There is unrest in the Middle East today. There's unrest in the Far East today. There's unrest in Ireland today. But it doesn't stop there. I'm not an alarmist. But, beloved, we are living in a restless country. Now, it doesn't matter to me how you feel about President Nixon. It doesn't matter to me whether you are a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or nothing. But I want to tell you this morning, there's a move on to get rid of all conservatism in this country. I would not be surprised if President Nixon is not destroyed physically. I'm not predicting he's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised. There is a move on to get rid of a conservative administration in our government. We're living in a restless time. Now, you may not like Richard Nixon. That's your business. But he's the only president we've got, and we don't have but one at a time. And if you don't like him, you go to the polls and vote him out. Beloved, we are facing in our country a grave revolution to silence the voice of every conservative in this country. Politically, educationally, and religiously, there is a move on to destroy every conservative voice. You take it for granted that you can come here this morning and listen to a preacher preach from this blessed old book. But don't take it for granted. You may not have that privilege next week. You ought to get out on your knees before you leave this house and thank God that you've got freedom of worship this morning. You may not have it next Sunday. You better thank God that your country is not already torn wide with revolution. It may happen before next Sunday. Oh, I know some of you sit back and say, well, I've heard him rave before. But one of these days you're going to wake up and know that I've been telling you the truth. Amen. This is our restless hour. This is our restless world. But thank God Jesus said, I will give you rest. I want to tell you this morning that I'm ready and I'm willing, and thank God in Christ I'm able to face every trial, to face every crisis, to face every moment of uneasiness and restlessness, because Jesus is my Savior and I'm God's child. Amen. They may come this week and take me out and pull me apart. They may come this week and stop these vocal cords from ever speaking again. But I'm ready for that moment, because there's a peace that passes all understanding in my heart. I've got the rest. And I've got the one who gives the rest. Let come what may. I'm going all the way with him. Something to do. Just come to Jesus. Something to take. His yoke. Something to learn how to live. But better still, how to die. Something to find. Rest in a restless world. I have a footnote, and then I'm through. There's something to leave. take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's stand for our prayer. Dear God, this morning, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for salvation, freedom, liberty. The privilege this morning to assemble in this house to worship Thee. When all over the world men are begging for something, longing with restless hearts for peace, for rest, for comfort. Dear God, I pray this morning that there would not go out of this house one restless soul. May men and women and families and children and mothers and daddies come to Jesus today. May we learn to take that yoke. May we learn how to live and how to die. And may we find that sweet rest and repose in the dear Savior's arms. And dear God, may we learn to leave our burdens with Him, is our prayer in His name. Out there this morning, even before we sing the hymn of invitation, you can come. You don't have to be rich to come. You don't have to be poor to come. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be mighty in the community. You don't have to be on the top rung of the social ladder. You don't have to be a merchant. Just come as you are. Come to Jesus. Come to the altar prayer. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there while we sing the first stanza of the invitation hymn. Who will come to Christ this morning? Who will come to an altar of prayer of dedication this morning while we sing the first stanza? For Christ to trust Him.